Talk Radio for Catholic Life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour, it is Thursday, May 20th, 2021. Happy feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena, who popularized devotion to the holy name of Jesus. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's breaking the second commandment not to take the name of God in vain? And when you do hear somebody do that, what do you do? We'll share some of your stories. We'll talk about it and go inside the life of this saint with Father James Kubicki coming up. And we're going to go inside our souls. This really is going to be an examination of your heart and your soul and your romance with Jesus. It's all in Bishop Donald Hines' brand new book called Love Never Fails, Living the Catholic Faith in Our Daily Lives. Bishop Hines will join us from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin in just a couple of moments here on Morning Air. But we start this brand new day, of course, in prayer and invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Five after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Blessed to say good morning and happy Easter to Bishop Donald Hines, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Bishop Hines. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, John and Glenn. Always great to be with you. Thank you.
So I'm going through your book. I'm reading your book, and I'm also living your book, because when you read Love Never Fails, Living the Catholic Faith in Our Daily Lives, you're not only reading a book, but you're living your own spiritual journey. And I was going to joke with you, and I will right now, that the cover should have actually been a mirror, because when I read this book, I see myself in it.
Yeah, it's. I'm kind of amazed that it got published. But a good friend of mine sent a bunch of my newspaper columns to Ignatius Press and told me, and I promptly forgot about it. And then I got a letter 6 months later from Ignatius saying, your manuscript's been accepted. And I was thinking, what manuscript? What are you talking about?
So, it's like winning the it's like somebody showing up at your door with the publisher's, you know, the check saying, right, hey, you just won the lottery here. You stopped me. Right. Every chapter will just kind of stop you cold, because it really is an x-ray into your own romance with Jesus. And you just absolutely stopped me cold in the very first sentence where you were talking about being on a retreat and the director asked the question, is it harder to love God or to be loved by God? Wow. I mean, you have to answer that first before you can do anything else.
Yeah, no, that's foundational. And in that chapter, I say, you know, at first it seems that it's answered by saying, you know, it's harder to love God than to be loved by God. But I think the longer we go in the spiritual path, we realize that it's actually harder to surrender to let God love us. Because if I let God's love into my life, then it demands that I find myself lovable. And I think most people really struggle with that, because we know ourselves in a way that nobody else does. You know, so we know our sins, our bad thoughts, our messiness. We know our weakness in a way that no one else fully sees. So in some ways, it's a cross just to live with ourselves the entirety of our existence, right? So, I mean, we can never be anybody else except who we are. Mm-hmm. But when we realize that that's precisely the person that God loves, that's precisely the person that Jesus died for on the cross, when we find ourselves loved by God, I think then we can love others, because we pass on the gift. You know, that we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, it just comes as sheer grace.
So how do we get around that little roadblock? God loves us just the way we are, but then we become God, small g, very judgmental on ourselves and thinking that God can't possibly love us because we're so broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really explained in the mystery of St. Paul's movement from the law to grace. You know, he says in his writings, in his letters, you know, I was a Pharisee, I was the zealous Jew, I observed the law to the letter, and then I encountered Jesus. And I realized that everything in my life is nothing compared to the love of Christ just pouring into my soul. And once we realize that on a existential level, it changes how we understand ourselves. You know, that, yes, I'm a sinner, yes, I'm a mess, but God created me and desires this relationship with me that will endure for all eternity. I mean, to realize that and to believe that changes everything.
Bishop Hyinger, our Catholic faith offers us many ways to strive for holiness and do good things and love one another, but sometimes it can seem like it's work we're doing to try and impress God. But how much do we need to internalize the fact that God loved us yet while we were still sinners? And that was the first step. And then God's love, you know, he has our back, which frees us to better love others.
Yeah, that's right. I always think of that in Lent, you know, that what we do in Lent are not some sort of spiritual calisthenics to impress God. You know, we're not doing it for God. We're really, in a sense, doing it for our best selves, that we can become the person that God calls us to be. So, right, you see that in the lives of the saints. There's this, for many of them, there was this moment of just spiritual explosion when, in some shattering experience, they realized the immensity and the immediacy of God's love for them. And it allowed them to kind of break out of the parameters of the law, you know, that I do this, I get this, you know, kind of this transactional mode that much of our world lives by. And once we realize just the infinite gift that the Lord has given us in Christ and the offer of salvation and forgiveness, we realize there's nothing we can do to pay that back. But all we can do is live our life in love, thanksgiving, and praise, and love others, you know, without measure and without condition, which is hard, very hard. But it's when we were most like Christ when we can get to that level.
Bishop Donald Hyinger joining us from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, and I've just tweeted out on our Morning Air Twitter account the link to Ignatius Press for the bishop's book, Love Never Fails, Living the Catholic Life in Our Daily Lives. Every time I'm at Mass, I always think of you because you said that Mass is this foretaste of heaven. So become very Ignatian, especially at the consecration. And I'm sitting there at the Last Supper, and God has chosen me to be able to go up and receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of him. It's almost beyond belief. And you talk about this in your book, where it's not going to Mass to say, okay, Bishop Hyinger, fill me up, but really the other way around.
Yeah, that Mass really becomes our expression of praise and thanks to God. And when we realize that we're not going there primarily to get something, but rather to give to God our praise, worship, and thanksgiving, you know, then we will be filled with gifts when we come back. I don't know if I ever told you the story when my mom went back to work part-time when I was a kid and going to Mass twice on Sunday. Did I ever talk about this?
No.
Okay, so my mom was a registered nurse. So when I was in second grade, she went back to work half-time at a Catholic nursing home in Milwaukee run by the Camillans. And of all of her nursing experiences, she loved it the best. So it was right when Saturday night Mass was coming in as the vigil Mass for Sunday. So weekends that she would work, we would all go to Mass Saturday night because she had to be gone, you know, by 5 in the morning on Sunday. My dad would get all of us out of bed on Sunday morning and make us go to Mass again. And most of the time it was the same priest, same homily. I never resisted going to Mass. I resisted going to the same liturgy twice within 14 hours with the same priest. And I would say that to my dad. It's like, you know, we just went to Mass last night. You know, let me sleep. And he always said two things. He said, number one, I don't care, you know, which is a great fatherly response.
Right.
But secondly, he would say, don't you think that God has done enough for you this week that you can give him 2 hours of praise and thanks? And he intuitively understood Mass as our response, our grateful response yeah. to God's gift. And what do you say to that except get up and go? It's just like, it's Sunday morning. I don't care if you just went to Mass last night. We're going again because this is the center of life. And I think part of my priestly vocation came from that attitude of my parents.
By the way, did you ever replace that vase that you broke of your mom's when you were 4 and you threw the ball in the house? Tell that story, because it's an Adam and Eve story, really.
Yeah, so there was a rule in my house, you couldn't throw anything in the living room, which makes sense when you have 6 boys, especially in what was a very small house where we lived. And one day I was 4 years old, minding my own business in the living room watching television. My brother came in and threw a ball to me. I threw it back. but it hit one of my mother's porcelain vases, which she'd received as a wedding gift. It was in a sconce on the wall, so it fell and broke. At the age of four, I had not yet read the book of Genesis, but I immediately did. I immediately did what Adam did. I ran and hid under my bed upstairs. And when my mom confronted me, pulled me out from the dust bunnies, I immediately did what Adam did next and blamed somebody else, you know, said it's my brother's fault. But I just think when I tell that story as an image of original sin, you know, that when Adam and Eve sinned, when we sin, you know, we shatter that original goodness, innocence, purity that God has given us. And only Jesus can put all those broken pieces back together. But the beauty of the redemption is that when he does so, the vase is actually more beautiful than it was before it was broken, you know, because Christ has assumed our humanity. And again, there you see just the enormity of the Lord's love for us, that even when we sin, precisely in our most broken, disobedient, wounded places, God just pours his love into us like this healing balm. You know, so if we cooperate with grace, we become strongest in the weakest places because of Christ.
Bishop Hying, as we contemplate God's love and our command from him to love one another, we think in our current environment, whether it be radio talk shows, cable news programs, the election process, we are almost trained to look at conflict as entertainment. But can't love in this environment really stand out as a great way to evangelize?
Yeah, you think of the Jerry Springer show. Right? It's just, it is conflict as entertainment, and it's conflict seen as normative. You know, that the norm in our culture today is one of conflict, division, demonization of one's enemies, you know, cancel culture, however you want to say it or call it, you know, and just how extraordinarily different is a life lived in Christ. You know, that conflict is healed by Christ, that we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. I had a beautiful confirmation mass last night, and one of the most common names for young women that are confirmed, one of their saints they choose most often is St. Maria Goretti. And they do so because they're so overwhelmed by her ability to forgive the man that killed her. And I always say to the ones that choose Maria Goretti, you're called to go into the world as an instrument of God's peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation. So if we can't come to forgiveness, you know, we end up with the world as it is. You know, divided camps, violence, wars, I mean, everything that goes on today. And we're called to be radically countercultural as instruments of God's peace.
If you want to see a picture of the culture that we're in today, I'll take one when I go to noon mass today, because the studio where they shoot Jerry Springer and Maury Povich is right next door to my parish. So you can,
wow.
You can actually walk 10 feet down the sidewalk from that dysfunction for profit to the real truth. But as you talk about a life lived in Christ and a life lived by Service Bishop Hying in the book Love Never Fails, it's a life that is done in service. And listen, I'll be the first to say that, okay, God loves me, I love him, great. We've got this nice little relationship here, and I don't do anything about it. But you talk and you share many examples of living God's love and life in service, because he's going to ask us, what did you do with you when we see him face to face?
Yeah, it demands a response, right? And I find that often when I was a parish priest, you know, I'd start a prayer group for married couples or a Bible study group or a group that studied the catechism. You know, so people would pray, study, talk, you know, share catechesis, share faith. Eventually, that group always became restless and said, we want to do something. We need to do something. And it goes back to, you know, those moments in John the Baptist preaching at the River Jordan, and also Simon Peter's preaching in Pentecost Sunday, when it says, in response to their proclamation of the word, the crowds were cut to the heart. And they asked the question, what must I do? So we know when we've heard the gospel because it demands a response. So when somebody has proclaimed the kerygma to me, I'm cut to the heart and I'm compelled to do something with it. And the something is often service. You know, pouring ourselves out. That's what made the early Christians stand out so profoundly. You know, they took care of the poor and the widows and the orphans and the homeless. And when this is not the first pandemic the church and the world have faced, but in other eras, when an epidemic hit, you know, people ran away, church ran in to take care of the sick. So it's in our passionate, kinetic pouring ourselves out in service to others that, you know, we validate our faith, you know, that it's faith and works.
Bishop Hying, with young people, so often when that faith light bulb goes on above their head and they get it, they kind of understand the gospel and they're hungry to go do good things, right? A good youth group will make sure that can happen. How do we keep that enthusiasm going beyond that junior high and high school years through those often drifting away college years and really helping to rebuild the church, which is so necessary right now?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to relationships. I know there's parishes that strive when parishioners go off to college, you know, the parish tries to stay in touch with them, whether it's sending them an electronic message or the pastor writing, you know, a text or something, or Snapchat. But I think it really comes down to someone within the church caring enough, sacrificing enough to seek to maintain a relationship with them. And I think there's, despite all of our social media explosion, there's many people that live profoundly lonely lives who are longing for connection. And so if we can somehow maintain or establish relationships with others, it really comes down to that. You know, I always say to priests, if you want the guarantee that no one shows up for something, put it in the bulletin. If you want people to attend, you have to tap them on the shoulder. You know, you have to approach them personally. It always comes down to personal contact. And I think that's true for relationships in the church.
Love Never Fails, the brand new book from Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, our guest this morning on Morning Air. You talk about the vocation to holiness. And holiness is always a word that I trip on because I'm really not clear. Even though my spiritual director gave me a definition of holiness, holiness is goodness, and I get that. But I still trip on that word, and maybe a lot of us do. Can you help us define what personal holiness is and that vocation that all of us are called to?
Yeah, I always say holiness is to God what humanity is to us. So holiness is God's nature. Holiness is who God is. And in his love for us, he desires to share his nature with us. He wants us to be holy so that we become like him. And that's why he created us. That's our destiny. So the Hebrew word for holiness essentially means different, which I've always been struck by that. So when we say holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, we're saying God is different, different, different than us. He is radically other. And it comes down to the realization that God is God and I'm not him. So faith dethrones us from our arrogance, our hubris, our self-centeredness. So holiness is really us being so conformed to God that to the extent that's possible in this life, we become so much like God that our virtue, our words, our actions become an extension of him because we are completely immersed in him. And that's really the central truth of John's gospel, you know, that the whole Christ event is to allow us to be led into the life of the Trinity, and that through sanctifying grace, the Blessed Trinity comes to dwell within us, that indwelling that John always speaks of so powerfully, both in the Gospel of John and in his letters. So our faith is, first of all, not about what we do, but who we become in Christ. So to be holy is to simply grow in our reception of who God is, his identity that he wants to share with us. So Jesus shares his identity with us. You know, he's son by nature. Through baptism, he shares that relationship with us. He doesn't even withhold from us his relationship to the Father. And so we become daughters and sons of God through the adoption of baptism. He shares his mission with us. So there's nothing that Jesus holds back as this possessive jewel that he doesn't give to us. He gives us his identity and he gives us his mission. And that's really what holiness is. When Mother Teresa received a degree from Harvard University, honorary degree. It was amazing. All these East Coast intellectual sophisticates were falling over themselves to meet her, to talk to her. And when I think of Harvard, I don't think of Catholicism, right? I mean, it's not a bastion of orthodoxy. And somebody asked these intellectuals, you know, why were you so impressed with Mother Teresa? And their answer was, she was different. She was different than anyone who's ever spoken at Harvard before. And it points to that original definition of holiness, that when we allow God to break into our life, everything's going to change. So we're different. We're transformed, not for different sake, not to be eccentric, but different for God's sake.
Bishop Hyang, when we speak of God's love, we can picture Christ there, arms open, waiting to love us, not only for eternity, but for right now as well. Is part of understanding and appreciating that love a little better just giving in to what we really want and need, and that's that loving relationship with our Lord?
Yes, so often we resist, right? And it calls to mind the fact that in one way it's easier to give than to receive. You know, when I give, it's on my terms. When I receive, it's on someone else's. You know, I think most of us would rather wash feet than have our feet washed. You know, when you think of the Last Supper, Holy Thursday ritual. And those who have their feet washed probably wash them before they go to church because they don't want to be embarrassed or whatever. So it's hard, it's humbling, it's even embarrassing to let someone wash our feet. Yeah, so to let God love us, again, going back to where we started in this conversation, it demands this surrender of humility. And I think for some people, it's hard for them to make that jump. I don't know if you've ever tried to love somebody that essentially has never been loved. They don't trust it because they think it's a trick. You know, it's like, what's your game? What's your angle? What are you going to get out of this? And there is no game. There is no angle. It's simply, you know, I love you in the Lord. And I think in our transactional culture, that's very difficult for some people to grasp because it's beyond their experience.
If you've never been blessed to have a spiritual director, you will have one now in this book from Ignatius Press. It's Bishop Donald Hyang, Love Never Fails, Living the Catholic Faith in Our Daily Lives. I've tweeted out the link. I'll put it up on our Morning Air Facebook page. This is a terrific book. And as I said, the cover should be a mirror because you'll see yourself. It really is a mirror into your own soul. Bishop Hyang, thanks for writing this book. I know it was a surprise book, a number of your columns, and you just got the letter in the mail saying congratulations. Here's the manuscript. So we can't wait for the next surprise book to come out. And we're always blessed to have you on Morning Air. May we have your blessing this morning, please?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, on this feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena, we praise the holy name of Jesus. May his name always be our hope of salvation and our assurance of your mercy. Hold us close to your heart, and may we spread your joy and peace today. We ask this blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Donald Hyang, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you, Your Excellency. You're in our prayers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you both.
And on this feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena, who popularized the devotion of the holy name of Jesus, did you ever hear somebody take the name of God in vain, break the second commandment? What have you done? We'll talk about that with Father James Kubicki as we continue. Right after we hear today's gospel from the 17th chapter of John on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel, or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Let's go to Donna, waiting patiently in Santa Ana, California. Hi, Donna. Lady Madonna.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet.
How many children do you have and how old?
Two. I have a three-month-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old. And I'm telling you, I put Relevant Radio on all day long because it's what keeps me sane.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
I promise to be on my best behavior.
Relevant Radio.
Has anyone ever made fun of your name? Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki. And while my Polish name is actually fairly simple, people still sometimes have trouble with it and mispronounce it. That's no big deal for me. But what if someone used your name as a curse, or as a sign of surprise or disgust? Wouldn't you feel bad, or maybe even get mad? I ask this because I often hear the name of God and the name of Jesus used not with honor and reverence, but thoughtlessly. This isn't a new problem. A group called the Holy Name Society was started in the 13th century to discourage profaning God's name and to show it reverence. And today's saint, Bernardine of Siena, a popular Franciscan preacher in the 15th century, worked hard to spread devotion to the name of Jesus. The second of the Ten Commandments clearly states, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Let's commit ourselves today to following this commandment and showing the name of Jesus the reverence it deserves. After all, St. Paul told the Philippians that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend. Now, let's close with a prayer of St. Bernardine's. Jesus, name full of glory, grace, love, and strength, you are the refuge of those who repent, our banner of warfare in this life, the medicine of souls, the comfort of those who mourn, the delight of those who believe, the light of those who preach the true faith, the wages of those who toil, the healing of the sick. To you our devotion aspires. By you our prayers are received. We delight in contemplating you. O name of Jesus, you are the glory of all the saints for eternity. Amen.
Did you know that there's lots of different ways to support the mission of Relevant Radio? Besides a cash gift or pledge, we can accept gifts of stock and gifts from IRAs. Today, it's easier than ever to do. If you'd like more information on all the ways you can support our mission, go to relevantradio.com and click on the support tab. Or call 877-291-0123. Your contribution by any method will help bring Christ to the world through the media on Relevant Radio. Thank you.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
29 before, good morning. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Patrick Madrid coming up at 8 Central, 6 Pacific here on Relevant Radio. And remember, we do the Mass 7 days a week at 12 noon Central right here on Relevant Radio. And the Family Rosary Across America, that is the fastest growing radio program in America. It's on every night at 7 o'clock with Father Rocky guiding you, taking your prayer intentions as we pray the rosary. Tens of thousands join every day, and we have no idea how many connect via the app and stream the high-definition video to their smart TVs. I know Father has heard from so many families who are watching on the smart TV now that we have a high-definition camera that's simulcasting the Family Rosary Across America. So listen to that, watch that tonight, 7 o'clock Central, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Happy Feast Day of St. Bernardine of Siena. Popularized the devotion to the Holy Name of Jesus. And the second commandment, of course, as you know, is that should not take God's name in vain. So, have you ever been in a situation where you've heard somebody take God's name in vain? Did you say anything about it? I have. And I'll let you know what that story is, and we'll share yours as well at 888-914-9149. As we welcome Father James Kubicki this morning, and of course, member of our Relevant Radio family with his daily prayer reflections, Father's the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Hi, Father Kubicki. Happy feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena.
Happy feast day, John, Glenn. Good to be with you on this day. You know, this great Franciscan saint from around the year 1400 almost put a printer out of business. The printer was making cards that people could use in recreation, and St. Bernardine preached against gambling and misusing God's name in vain while people were playing games, and it put the printer out of business until he started printing cards with the symbol IHS. Maybe our listeners have seen that symbol. Yeah. Symbol IHS, which is basically the first three Greek letters of the name of Jesus. And his business took off. So I think it's a great example how if we serve the Lord, we can trust that he will bless us. So that's just a little story from St. Bernardine.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, St. Bernardine and the Holy Name Society. My dad was in the Holy Name Society. I'm in the Holy Name Society. I still have my dad's pin from the 1950s, the lapel pin for the Holy Name Society.
Right. And that organization started, you know, as a way, well, basically a men's group in many parishes. You had the Christian mothers, and then you had the Holy Name Society for the men. And yep. Now it's of course, open to men and women. But it began as a way of counteracting some of that secular influence in which people did not respect the name of God or the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so it began as a way of promoting reverence for the name, but also making reparation. In other words, doing penance for all those people who have taken the name of the Lord in vain and have sinned against him by doing so. So it's a great organization that is still around today.
And you hear the name of God taken in vain. Now, on daytime talk shows, I mean, there's absolutely no respect for that name. And I'm curious, as you hear someone break that second commandment not to take the name of God in vain, what do you do when you hear somebody use the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way? Have you ever said anything? And what's happened? 888-914-9149. Jesus never said, well, only say something when it's convenient. It's right, mm-hmm. Father Kubicki? We don't see that now. It's like, you know, when it's inconvenient, you can bring the inconvenient truth to the table. And this happened once in the gym. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, you got to pick your places. But again, Jesus never said, well, you got to pick your places, John, before you open your mouth. No, we have to just open our mouths. And I just said, whoa, guys, wait a minute here. I said, you know, I'm Catholic, and I said, I'm offended by what you're doing. And I was explaining why in as courteous a way as possible. You could hear a pin drop, Father. You could hear a pin drop. And they were like, oh, okay. Nobody pushed back. Nobody said, what are you saying? You know, nobody said, well, you know, it's my business. Nope. And it was an important aha for me is that, you know, you can evangelize and just kind of stand up for your faith. Do it with clarity and charity. It's going to work.
Mm-hmm. You know what's good about that story too, John, is it shows that, you know, they reacted in silence because for them, they hadn't even thought about their language and how they were using the name. So it was really a teachable moment where you could tell them, you know, for Christians, this name is very important. It's meaningful. And, you know, you wouldn't want to go around having your name misused or used as an expression of surprise or whatever. So it was a great teachable moment.
And I was, and listen, you know, I turned into Patrick Madrid in the gym, and I pulled out, and they have seen my miraculous medal and the brown scapular, and have asked about that, and so I used those as another opportunity to say, you know what this means again, and you know what this means, and who I am, and everything. So it was really a teachable moment, and it was a great moment. And since I see the same guys all the time. Since then, none of that language has been there. And have you ever been in a situation where you hear somebody use the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way and you have spoken up? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Glenn, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Father, it's easy for you because you're a priest. And did you ever stop in somebody when you were not in your clerics to say, hey, you know, maybe you want to think twice about what you're saying here?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that you agonize because you don't want to antagonize people, or if it's in your family, you know, maybe it's easier in family, maybe it's more difficult. But basically, you know, I think what it comes down to is saying, you know, excuse me, I find that really offensive, you know, and not pointing a finger and saying, you know, you dirty sinner, you're taking the name of the Lord, the God, our God, in vain, but just to say, you know, could you watch your language, you know, using God's name like that? Because as a Christian, it really, I find that very upsetting. So, I think it's because it's used so often, like you said, even on daytime television shows now. So, does Glenn have a story for us about this at all?
Has that ever happened to you, Glenn?
Well, you know, almost in the opposite way. When I was working in classic rock, there was a series of commercials about partial birth abortion, which brought up quite the conversation about Christianity versus, we should be able to do what we want to do, and freedom of speech, and this and that. And it kind of became where they could tell that, you know, I didn't talk like the others, and they you know, they wondered, you know, well, they weren't surprised at the side of the issue that I was on. What I've gotten is if, you know, I ever let out a cuss word, I get laughed at because it's so unusual, especially by my wife. It's so unusual that she just laughs uproariously to hear Mr. Rogers say something naughty, but usually not along the lines of ever taking the Lord's name in vain. But,
sure.
You know, if you hit your thumb with a hammer type of thing. So, you know, when you're angry and somebody's laughing at you, that doesn't necessarily help. But I suppose it is good to have that kind of reputation anyway.
Yeah. Oh, Glenn, that's great, you know, because you also bring up just the whole use of language and how coarse our language has become, how people just use very coarse words or cuss words, as you say, coarse words. It's just really not very respectful of ourselves or of other people, you know, to use language in that way. So it's a good reminder, but especially, as you say, in terms of the name of God, the name of Jesus, you know, to never use that as a word of expression that expresses surprise or pain or whatever it may be. Sometimes you'll even hear people using the name of Jesus, not even as surprise, but just it just sort of slips out of their mouth, and that's why it can be very important for us to address that with people as a way of helping our culture become less, let's say, coarse. But I wonder if any of our listeners have any advice on how to do that in a way that, you know, people will listen to you and not just simply dismiss you, but also to stand up for our faith and the importance of using God's name in a respectful way.
We're sharing those stories this morning on this feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena, who had tremendous devotion to the holy name of Jesus. And of course, you know, the second commandment says not to take the name of God in vain. And when you hear somebody use the name Jesus in a disrespectful way, what have you done? We're sharing those stories at 888-914-9149. Starting with Scott in St. Paul, Minnesota. Scott, good morning. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Good morning, Father Kubicki. Good morning, guys. I just real quickly, I had in my office, there was a gal that was having trouble with the printer, and she would say, you know, use the Lord's name in vain, you know, Jesus Christ, and in a not good way. And it was going through me, and I'm like, he'll help you if you ask him nice. And she said, what did you say? And I kind of backed off. I said, oh, nothing. She goes, no, you said something. I said, he'll help you if you ask him nice. Well, it led to her coming to my office. She goes, I want to talk to you about something. My cousin is dying. I said, go and see her right now because you need, you know, she said, I haven't been in a very good place with her and we've been in a fight and all this. And I said, go see her. She ran and went and did that. And then I got home and there was a message on my machine, a woman crying. I couldn't make it out. And she said, I'm so glad you talked to me about Jesus. My cousin, I got to meet with her and she passed away. And I just want to tell everybody, if you just say he'll ask you, I mean, he'll help you if you ask him nice. That's kind of a one way when they use that particular word. So that's what I had for you.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Scott. I like that. It's a way of telling people, you know, that name is itself a prayer. And, you know, if instead of being surprised or upset about something, you know, to turn that into a prayer. So, well, what a great reminder, and especially how that helped that coworker of yours in a difficult situation. So, great story, Scott. Thank you.
Beautiful story, Scott. 888-914-9149 on the feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena. A great devotion to the holy name of Jesus. And how many times have you heard somebody use the name Jesus in a disrespectful way? What have you done? 888-914-9149. Pat's in Dallas, Texas, listening to Relevant Radio 1440. Pat, you're a teacher in the public school system. What have you done when you've heard somebody use, when you heard the name Jesus used in a disrespectful way?
Yeah, in middle school, kids kind of need a reason. So I would say, whoa, that's offensive. Don't do that. And they'd say, why? And I'd say, because that's the name of my Savior. And they would stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way of reminding them that it's not just an expression of something that you say, but that it is the name of an actual person who is very important to you and to our whole world. So that's another way of educating or teaching people, especially middle school kids who probably unfortunately pick that up from their peers or maybe even in their family. And so that was another teachable moment. Thank you, Pat.
Bravo, Pat. Thanks for listening. Spread the word in the Metroplex that Catholic Radio is on. Phil is in northern Michigan this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hey, Phil, have you ever heard somebody use the name of Jesus in vain? And what did you say?
Yes, I did. It was at a gathering at my wife's acquaintances, some workmates in the evening. The host put on a very nice dinner, and we had a small campfire in his backyard. And he was telling a story, and he was blaspheming throughout the story, and it was hard to do, but I did it. I went ahead and I gripped my wife's hand, and I said, excuse me. I said, you provided such a wonderful meal, and this camaraderie that we're sharing tonight is great, but you are breaking my heart by using the Lord's name in vain like you are. And to keep the story short, he got up and walked away. And my wife then just gave me the look like, oh, nice job, you know. But he came back about 5-6 minutes later, and he apologized. And he said, I didn't realize that I was being offensive. He goes, you've given me some food for thought. And he thanked me. So I didn't really know how the outcome was, you know, what was going to be. But it turned out to be a wonderful grace moment.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Phil, and you use the word blaspheming, and that's, you know, a word many people may not think of, but it really is. It's where we take the name of the Lord our God in vain and misuse it. And to, you know, you did that in such a gentle way, but I'm sure when he walked away, you thought, oh boy, now what? And, yep. You know, he's rejecting what I had to say, but the fact that he went and thought about that and then came back, that's a wonderful way, I think, of dialoguing with another person in this regard. So that's great advice for all of us, Phil. Thank you.
Food for thought, Phil. Thank you so much. God bless. Thanks for listening to Relevant Radio in Northern Michigan. With Father James Kubicki, we're talking about those times, and you and I have all been in those situations where you've heard somebody use the name of Jesus in vain. Have you said anything? What happened? We're sharing those stories. 888-914-9149. And more of your calls coming up. Our time now at 13 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your marriage. Don't be afraid of that. And the key is to simply be open to God's will. That's the key.
Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly memorari campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million memoraris. Add your memorari for life at relevantradio.com.
Friends, this is Bishop Joe Vasquez of the Diocese of Austin. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Lord, Teach Me to Pray is a proud mission partner of Relevant Radio. Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the Ignatian Prayer Series, can now train you and others electronically to become facilitators and bring the Ignatian way of prayer to your parish. Come to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and help others do the same. Don't pass up the opportunity to join this work of the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Digital Training.
Back in the day, Nancy and I used Seton Home Study School for our children, and we can confidently say that it was a great benefit to our family. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Here are some reasons you should consider Seton if you want to home educate your children. Homeschooling your children gives them the best teacher they could ever have, you. Don't be afraid to homeschool. Seton will help you succeed. Learn more at setonhome.org. That's setonhome.org.
Supporting Relevant Radio.
I had a hard time articulating my defense or my logic. I think I need a Patrick Madrid doll with a string on the back.
God bless you. Not too bad for a sinner. How about you? Who is this Drew of which you speak? Happy Taco Tuesday.
At the intersection of faith and culture, the Patrick Madrid Show.
Look at him. He's got more gadgets on him than a Swiss Army knife.
9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
11 before the hour, morning air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena, a great devotion to the holy name of Jesus. And of course, you know, the second commandment says not to take the name of God in vain, but you've probably heard someone do that. And when that happens in front of you, have you ever said anything? 888-914-9149. Father James Kubicki is our guest, and so is Lisa in Wisconsin. Lisa, when you've heard somebody take the name of Jesus in vain, what have you said?
Well, I've had a co-worker say that, and so my response to her was Mary and Joseph, and she turned around and looked at me with the biggest eyes like she made a huge mistake, and then she said, and the donkey? And so, again, a couple weeks later, she said the same thing, and my response was Mary and Joseph, and she turned around and said, oh, I'm sorry. And from there on in, she has never mentioned that name in front of me. So she must have known it was very offensive. So. It did take her back, and I think she really had to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great story, Lisa. Thanks for sharing that this morning. Connie's in California. Connie, when you've heard somebody use the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way, what did you do?
Well, I'm raising my 6 and 8-year-old grandsons, and when I first got them, every other word was, oh, my God, and I said, we don't say that unless we're praying. I said, are you praying? And they just get really quiet and look at me, no. And I said, okay, well, then I don't want to hear that. You know, we say, oh, my gosh, or gosh, and I was trying to give them other words to say. And then, of course, it's just everyone uses that term, unfortunately. Even myself, I'm guilty. So now, whenever I accidentally say it, they correct me, and they correct anybody. They don't care who it is, you don't say that. And it's so cute that they've done that. And then at school, I guess one little boy said Jesus Christ and didn't say it in a very good way. And so they came home and I heard them repeat that one day. And I said, what did you say? And they got really quiet. I said, we don't say that either unless we're praying. And they said, well, Tommy at school said it. I said, well, then you need to let Tommy know not to say that. And they go, okay, Grandma. I just thought that was so cute.
That is great. You're a great grandma, Connie.
That's right. And, you know, so often grandparents are now the teachers of their grandchildren in terms of the faith. And so to take that opportunity to teach them about that is very good. And you also bring up, Connie, that, you know, it's not just the name of Jesus, but just even to use the word God in a way that is not respectful is important. The Jewish people, you know, when God revealed his name to them, they never even pronounced that name, and they would not write it out. They would just use a couple of the initials to show that they were using the name of God. And in our Bibles, we'll often see the word Lord in capital letters, and that was a substitute for that sacred name that the Jewish people held in such respect. And so we can really learn from that ourselves and to never take even the word God, the name God, in vain. So thanks, Connie.
Connie, you're a great-grandma. Thanks for sharing that story this morning with Father James Kubicki on this feast day of St. Bernardine of Siena. Great devotion to the holy name of Jesus, but sometimes that name is used in a disrespectful way. If you've ever been in that situation where someone has used the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way, what have you done? 888-914-9149. Father, we have another teacher, Lucia in New Mexico. Lucia, what's happened with you?
Hi there. I've been teaching for 33 years, and every time, thank you, Jesus, kids would say, Jesus, or they'd say, oh, God, and I'd say, excuse me, you need to wrap a prayer around that. And every time it would be a prayer about anything from, dear Jesus, I need a prom date. Oh, my God, I didn't do my math tonight. Or please, sweet Jesus, forgive me for not doing my English. Whatever it was, it always resulted in a positive prayer. So kids got to where they weren't so careless about the way they said Jesus or God or oh God or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Great story, Lucia. And I love the way you put that, to wrap a prayer around that, you know, to wrap a prayer around that name. And it's a great way of turning something negative into something positive. So I like that example, Lucia. Thank you.
Lucia, what do you teach?
Thank you. High school English, math, and home ec.
I think Glenn and I could probably do the home ec and maybe the English, but don't ask us to. You've heard how bad we are with math on this program, so don't give us any pop quizzes, Lucia. Thanks and God bless you. Nicole in North Carolina with Father James Kubicki. What have you done when you've heard somebody use the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way?
Good morning. I have a coworker who will often say, when he's frustrated or aggravated with something, he'll say, Jesus Christ. Oh, and it just makes me cringe. And so I've taken to saying, praise his name. And it kind of causes him to stop. And I had a lady told me one time when people would use the Lord's name in vain and in kind of crass ways or in just the ways of, you know, just like the oh my God, she would say, praise his name now and forever. And I've never quite gotten that far out, but I'll just say, praise his name. And it causes him to stop. And I've noticed that he does it a lot less than he used to. So maybe one day we'll get him to stop altogether.
Right. Nicole, that's another example of taking a negative and turning it into a positive, you know, and this is saying, you know, as Lucia said, wrap a prayer around that. Well, what you're doing is saying, you know, just that name itself is a prayer. And so we want to praise him by using his name in a respectful way. So it's a great example for all of us to follow. Thanks, Nicole.
Nicole, thank you. And one of our great affiliates, Catholic 540 AM in Raleigh. Nicole is listening to that. Ramona's in Philadelphia this morning, listening to Relevant Radio 640. Nicole, when you've heard somebody use the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way, what have you done?
Hi.
No, this is Ramona we're talking to now, right?
Yeah, this is Ramona. Yeah. This is Ramona.
Okay.
But I had another coworker who is also a reverend, would constantly use God's name in vain, saying, oh God, and whenever he had a difficult customer, because we work in a call center. And I pointed out, it's like, you're not using God's name as in prayer. And his response was, I'm invoking God. When I say this, I'm asking God for help for me to deal with a difficult person. And it became a big debate in the office. And sad to say, he didn't change his ways. And a lot of other people were like, well, no, it's okay. Like, if you're asking God's help, I'm like, but that's not, you're not praying. You're not using God's name in prayer. You're using God's name in frustration. And people really need to understand that. I do have a T-shirt that says God's last name isn't damn it. And like, that'll raise like a smile or two if people see me wearing that.
and they'll think, yeah, I shouldn't be doing that. But too many people are not really realizing that we shouldn't be using God's name in frustration.
Right. Wow. And to, you know, engage in that dialogue. And, you know, I have to say, you know, it doesn't sound very honest to say, well, I'm praying when I use that name. You know, it seems pretty clear that was not a prayer. And so I think calling him on that and then engaging in that discussion in the office, so those are all good things. Thank you, Ramona.
Ramona, awesome story. Thank you, and God bless you. Father Kopecky, thanks for leading us in a great conversation. Are you doing any parish retreats or anything moving forward now that we're moving out of the pandemic? What's your summer look like?
Well, I've got a few things coming up. You know, in the Chicago area, I'd invite any of our listeners to come on July 14th to the Bellarmine Retreat House in Barrington, Illinois, just outside Chicago. And we're going to have a retreat day where we're going to honor St. Kateri Tekakwitha. July 14th is her feast day. So we're going to come together and reflect on her life and what she can teach us and what our Native American brothers and sisters can teach us about the faith as well. So that's going to be July 14th in Bellarmine Retreat House in Barrington, Illinois.
We got to introduce you to Bishop Scharfenberger up in Albany. He's got great devotion to her, so the two of you should get together. I would imagine that would be a tremendous retreat, but Father will tell us more about that when it gets closer. Of course, Father James Kubicki is a member of our family here on Relevant Radio, and you hear him with his daily prayer reflections, and Father is also the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Father, thanks for leading us in a great conversation. God bless.
God bless you, too. Goodbye.
Coming up tomorrow on Morning Air, by popular request, we got flooded. You sent us so much email last week when Gary Zimek was talking about worry and faith. Gary's coming back tomorrow because we couldn't get to all of your calls. We're going to answer your email, have the opportunity to speak to Gary on tomorrow's Morning Air, plus a look ahead to Sunday's readings for Pentecost Sunday with Bishop Daniel Muggenberg. And of course, Glenn will have a fresh story corner. That's all tomorrow. Stand by for Patrick Madrid. He's next. It's a minute before now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.